What's good, y'all? What's good? My name is Andy Harris. Welcome back to another episode of All Angles. Now, a couple of things. I apologize for taking a leave of absence. After shooting the first episode, I kind of got under the weather, so I wasn't feeling good enough to record, so I wanted to give you guys the best content possible, so I wanted to get right before I got back on camera. So here I am, 100%. Looking forward to getting back to this content. There's a lot going on. As you can see, I'm wearing my Dodgers bucket hat. Adios a los Dodgers, like my people in California here in LA would say. You know, the Dodgers are in the World Series right now, currently up 2-1 after a thriller last night, 18 innings. Freddie Freeman, you guys know the rest of the story. Shout out to the Dodgers. Good luck the rest of the way. All that. There's plenty going on in the United States, as you guys are aware, so let's go ahead and get right into it. Some of the main topics that I have today are elections. It's election week. A lot of elections going on around the country. New York, California, there's a special election here in LA or in California. Virginia, New Jersey, there's a governor's race there and in Virginia. So we're going to talk about all of those races and where they stand and how things look over there. Right. Israel is bombing Gaza now, or has not stopped bombing Gaza, but here we are again. There was a ceasefire that was in place, and, you know, that's up in smoke, no pun intended. So we're going to talk about that as well. And then we're also going to talk about Stephen A. Smith. He's a very polarizing character, as you guys are well aware. He's known in the sports circle, but has been inserting himself in the political spectrum and talking about different things regarding politics. He talked about Jasmine Crockett a couple weeks ago, or had been talking about Jasmine Crockett for a while, the representative from Texas. So we're going to talk about that and how that played out and where we are now with that. But yeah, got a lot to get into on All Angles, so let's go ahead and jump right in. So in New York, there is a three-way race as it stands right now. It's between Republican Curtis Sliwa, Independent Andrew Cuomo, who was the former Democratic governor of New York and had to resign because of some scandals and some sexual harassment allegations, and the third being the Democratic Socialist and the Democratic nominee for mayor, Zoran Mamdani. So, as it stands now, Assemblyman Mamdani has a pretty sizable lead in that race, and all signs point towards him winning, but as we've come to realize, polls aren't all that reliable. We look back to Hillary Clinton's campaign in 2016, we look at Kamala Harris's campaign in 2024, polls are not necessarily the most reliable things to look at. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but if you are serious about, or you seriously are concerned about where things stand and who you want to win the race, you kind of want to ignore the polls. You know, you kind of want to get out there and do what you need to do to kind of make sure that the person that you want to win the race wins the race. What things look like in my view. So the one thing that I want to talk about regarding the race in New York is it goes back to Hakeem Jeffries. Now, you guys know how I feel about Hakeem Jeffries. He's not my favorite person. I don't love him for a number of reasons, but he did one thing that kind of got under my skin. So you guys know that Zoran Mamdani won the Democratic primary in June 24th, to be exact. That's the day that he won the Democratic primary and became the official candidate for mayor for the Democratic Party, right? So that was 4 months ago, over 4 months ago now, but 4 months ago nonetheless. Hakeem Jeffries endorsed Zoran Mamdani a few days ago. He endorsed him a few days ago. Now, why am I laughing? Because the Democratic Party has been struggling with messaging, has been struggling with young voters for a while, but definitely has been struggling with them since, I'd say, the end of 2024, or 2024 period, right? So that's a given. That's well-documented. Everybody knows it. That is the truth. So Zoran Mamdani has done something that we haven't seen in a long time. He has galvanized a large grouping of young voters, voters between the age of 18 to, I'd say, 35, to come out and, you know, register, to come out and knock on doors, to, you know, go out and get the vote out, you know, and get the word out about who Zoran Mamdani is, what he represents, the things that he wants to see happen in New York, the things that he wants to implement and to get passed into law in New York, you know, because New York, for all intents and purposes, is the most expensive city in the country, you know, or in the world for that matter. Definitely one of the most expensive cities in the world. That's a fact. So what Assemblyman Mamdani has been trying to make happen or has been campaigning on is things like free buses, freezing the rent, you know, things of that nature to try and make life easier for New Yorkers. Now, obviously, he's been criticized heavily by whether it be his opponents in the race or other politicians in Washington, D.C. or elsewhere. You know, obviously, he's been criticized. That's nothing new. But what I can't stand is the Islamophobia, the racism. I don't condone. I don't play that. I don't like that. It's not cool. It's not funny. None of that is cool whatsoever. Don't like it. Now, obviously, this is America. These things do happen. You know, campaign rhetoric can be rather disgusting, and that has been very evident in the New York mayor's race. Now, let's get back to Hakeem Jeffries. I don't want to get off topic. I definitely did for a minute, but I'm going to stick with Hakeem Jeffries because he's a large part of the issue right now for the Democratic Party. So, Hakeem Jeffries, we know who he is. He is the current House Minority Leader, the Democratic leader in the House of Representatives. You know, he is, by and large, the most important Democrat in the House right now, and one of the most important Democrats in New York as well. So when he endorsed Mamdani a few days ago, he, you know, listed the grievances that he has. You know, he's, you know, talked about the campaign promises that Mamdani made, and he talked about how he agrees with wanting to combat the president and the things that he's been doing in Washington, D.C., and he did, for lack of a better term, endorse Zohra Mamdani. Whether you think it was thinly veiled or not, he did end up endorsing him. Now, here's my issue. Again, the Democratic Party has come under fire for not endorsing him soon enough. You know, it's, again, it took the Democratic leader 4 months to endorse him. Now, granted, it probably won't make that much of a difference now. It won't make much of a difference, his endorsement. You know, it would have been helpful for the overall Democratic Party if Jeffries had endorsed him sooner, but I don't think it will impact Mamdani's campaign chances or his chances to win the election having Hakeem Jeffries' endorsement, because Hakeem Jeffries is historically unpopular right now, not just in New York, but in general. Most of the Democratic Party wants him to resign, not to mention they want Chuck Schumer to resign too, but that's another conversation. They want Hakeem Jeffries to resign because they feel like he's not the person to lead them in this time. So, and that's not just the liberal wing, it's not just the progressives, you know. Obviously, yes, they do want him to resign, but that's the whole party. The whole party wants him to move on or wants him to step down. So, Hakeem Jeffries, if you're watching this, you need to make a decision, my brother. You need to decide if standing up for what you say is standing up for Israel is worth your standing in the Democratic Party. Because right now it's not looking good for you, my brother. It really isn't. You know, and that's what I want to get to. So you ask yourself why this is happening. You ask why Democrats have been kind of fleeing from Mamdani like the plague and trying not to endorse him with every fiber in their being. One of the main reasons is because of his stance on the Israel and Gaza conflict. But again, Democrats have found ways to shoot themselves in the foot for the longest time. But this time, they're doing it because of the Israel and Gaza conflict. So one of the talking points in this entire election cycle, the campaign trail, has been the fact that Zohra Mamdani does not want, or has not said publicly, that he wants Israel to exist as a Jewish state. He has said that he believes that they have every right to exist as exist, of course, but not as a religion. There shouldn't be a religion imposed on the people there, which seems pretty valid, you know. But the way that his opponents have been framing it is that he's being anti-Semitic, all these things, which are not true. They're just not true. Even if he was off camera, he has never said that on camera. He has not, you know, had a gaffe. He's not made any sort of mistakes and said, you know, something on the other side of that. You know, he's been pretty transparent about how he feels about Israel. But here's what he's also said. He's also said that his focus is on New York because he's going to be the mayor of New York, or he's running to be the mayor of New York, not the mayor of Israel. That's a fact. The fact that Andrew Cuomo, Curtis Sliwa, and at the time, Eric Adams, had all been struggling to realize they're not going to be the mayor of Israel. They're going to be the mayor of New York. You know, Eric Adams hasn't been the mayor in New York for years, really. He's been kind of, you know, kind of derelict in duty, to be quite honest with you. But that's beside the point. So, yeah. So all three of those other candidates have been, you know, I remember when there was they had a primary debate where all the Democrats were asked, you know, if you had to choose somewhere to go, where would it be? Pretty much everyone on that stage said they would go to Israel. Zohar Mamdani said that he would stay in New York. And lo and behold, now Zohar Mamdani is the front runner to win the race for mayor of New York City. It's pretty clear how that played out. But again, why is this happening? So a politician has found policies, has found a way to, again, galvanize support, find ways to make the lives of New Yorkers easier. And what do Democrats do? Run. You really can't make this up, to be quite honest with you. And so, again, why is this happening? A lot of these politicians are funded by AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. It's a group of Americans that are deeply entrenched in the betterment of Israel. Now, I did some research, and most New York politicians have some sort of AIPAC money in their pocket, or have been funded by AIPAC in some way. Now, let's start with Hakeem Jeffries, congressman from New York, from Brooklyn specifically. He has just over $1.7 million in AIPAC money. Senator Chuck Schumer, also from New York, same thing. Just over $1.7 million from AIPAC. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, you are not safe. You are also funded by AIPAC significantly. Not as much as those two, but just under $1 million for you as well. The dots are connecting themselves. The story writes itself in this scenario. So you ask yourself why these Democrats are not so quick to support him. Follow the money and see where it goes. That's a Hamilton line. If you know, you know. But yeah, no, the money kind of tells you where people are going to stand on certain scenarios and certain issues. So these guys aren't supporting the Democratic candidate so much because it seems as though they're afraid of that money leaving or losing those donations. You tell me what you think, but I know what I can see. I went on a long tangent about New York and, you know, Andrew Cuomo and Zohar Mamdani and Hakeem Jeffries. There are a lot of campaigns that are going on right now. You know, obviously election day is November 4th. And of course, this is not an official like general election year or midterm year, but these elections, they all matter. They do. You know, here in California, there's a special election going on for Prop 50. You know, as you guys may be aware of, there is a push by Republicans in Congress and the White House to, you know, redraw congressional maps to make it easier for Republicans to win seats and maintain their majority in the House of Representatives. You know, what usually happens in midterm elections, or election cycles rather, is the party that's not in power typically ends up winning in one way or another, whether that's the House or the Senate, the House and the Senate. They win something, right? The party in power usually is unpopular after 2 years, and the way things look, that's probably what's going to happen. The Republican Party has been quite unpopular over the first 9 to 10 months of this administration. So all signs point towards that being the case again, which is why it seems that Republicans are working overtime to make it easier for the president to maintain that majority in Congress. Albeit, let's be clear, the Congress has been ho-hum and hush the last 6 months, I'd say. Really the last 10 months, but definitely the last six. You know, there's been a lot of concentration of power to go to the executive, to the White House, to the president, which is really unheard of, because usually these things, is obviously there's the separation of powers, the, you know, the three branches of government, the judicial, the legislative, and executive, of course. But Congress has been kind of quiet when it comes to Donald Trump doing just about whatever he wants. You know, whether that's tearing down the East Wing or withholding funds that have already been appropriated by Congress or whatever the case may be, Congress has said nothing. The leaders in Congress being House Speaker Mike Johnson and Senate Majority Leader John Thune, they both have been extremely quiet as Trump does whatever he wants. You know, Trump has been withholding funds for Democratic states and cities just because, really. There's no real rationale that I can see as to why Trump is withholding these funds or why the White House has been withholding funds. It's uncharacteristic of what a White House typically does. Not only does Trump choose to just belittle Democratic politicians and call them any name in the book, but he's also withholding millions on millions, really billions of dollars for Democratic cities all over the country. And instead, what's he doing with that money? Giving it to Argentina. It makes little sense. There was talk about him buying their beef. It makes no sense. When you have your country that is literally in the midst of a government shutdown, millions of people that are in food lines because they can't afford groceries because they're not getting paid, your primary focus is buying beef from Argentina and giving them billions of dollars, and being in Asia for that matter, and tearing down the East Wing of the White House to build a ballroom to, you know, to help appease foreign visitors. It's not a good look. It is not a good look. Not for the White House, not for Trump, definitely not for Congress, who seems to just not really give a damn at all. You know, it throws me off. You know, me personally, I feel like it makes no sense. I have no answers as to why Congress is being quiet. You know, you can make your own inferences. It does appear that the leaders in Congress are scared of him. Mike Johnson's definitely scared of him. John Thune is probably scared of him. Honestly, the reason why Hakeem Jeffries and Chuck Schumer have been so unpopular within the Democratic Party is probably because they think that they're scared of him. The constituents probably think that Jeffries and Schumer are scared of him or really unable to combat him in any sort of logistical way. However, I do want to say one thing to Democrats across the country and people that are, whether you consider yourself progressive, moderate, whatever. There's not much that they can do. There really isn't. I'll say that. There isn't much that they can do in this moment because Republicans do control the House. They do control the Senate. And of course, they're in the White House. So, and then you add in the Supreme Court that is, you know, six conservative to three liberal justices. You know, there really isn't much that they can do. You know, that's the blunt truth. You know, and as much as you may want to hate on them or tell them that they're doing a bad job, which, again, is your constitutional right, normally. But, you know, there isn't much they can do, really. You know, obviously they're not doing the best job of, you know, fighting back. But at the same time, in some ways, their hands are kind of tied because they don't have any power. They just don't. You know, there's literally nothing that they can do. They literally have to wait until the midterms come around and hopefully that they can, you know, gain some sort of edge, whether it be taking back the House, taking back the Senate, however you look at it. There just aren't many options for them at this moment. Their main option is the courts. Again, normally. because while the courts have been saying that Trump has been doing any number of unlawful things and has been telling him that he can't do X, Y, and Z, Trump just doesn't really care about that either and has been flouting the court orders and has been doing whatever he wants anyway. You know, obviously he'll get a win or two here and there, but the majority of his court cases he's lost in. But again, it doesn't appear that he really cares. Now, switching gears a little bit to Jamaica, as it stands right now, Jamaica is in the throes of a really serious Category 5 hurricane. It is currently tied for the strongest Atlantic hurricane in recorded history. You know, there are strong rains, strong winds. You know, I think it was 185 miles per hour winds, you know, in Jamaica right now. So my deepest prayers to the people of Jamaica, and I'm hoping that they are able to, you know, come out of that safely, and hopefully there are as few casualties as possible. I read there are a few already. Like, I think at the time that I read it, it was like 3 or 4. Hopefully there aren't any more. Hopefully the people there can shelter in place and be safe and are able to come out of that safely. You know, because the views, the pictures, and the videos are shocking, and it is hard to watch. You know, so my deepest prayers to the people of Jamaica. I want to get that out there before we continue on. So back to the elections. In Virginia, it is a two-way race between Abigail Spanberger and Winsome Earl Sears, the lieutenant governor currently. So as it stands, Spanberger currently holds the lead, but I want to reemphasize the point that I made before in New York, in the New York's race. The polls can be kind of wishy-washy, so whichever way you're voting, I recommend that, you know, you go out there and do what you need to do to make sure that the person that you want to, you know, become the governor in Virginia becomes that governor by, you know, knocking on doors, you know, getting to the polls, making sure you get other people to the polls to vote, you know, all these things that are crucial to the democracy that we so care for in the United States. So definitely go out and vote, make your voices heard. You know, it is... These times are very serious, you know what I mean? So you want to go out there and make sure that your voices are heard. In Virginia, I'm seeing kind of the same thing from Winsome Earl Sears, the Republican candidate for governor, that I see out of Andrew Cuomo in New York. A lot of the talking points are pretty similar. You know, same thing with Jack Ciccarelli in New Jersey, but I'll come back to him in a minute. But the talking points between the three of them, being Cuomo, Winsome Earl Sears, and Ciccarelli, are pretty similar. You know, Cuomo has been calling Mamdani a communist, which, again, he is not. You know, Winsome Earl Sears has been basically, you know, parroting the comments that Trump makes, whether that be on New York politics or just politics in general, the things that Trump has been pushing for. Winsome Earl Sears has been like, oh, yes, let's do that. Yeah, so... you kind of know what you're going to get out of a Governor Winsome Earl Sears. You're going to get another Trump. Whatever Trump wants, she's going to deliver on. You know, so Virginia's pretty evenly split, which is why, obviously, yes, we know that politics in New York are very different from politics in Virginia. You know, so you have to campaign differently. You have to be on the ground differently, have to move differently as it pertains to that. So, but yeah, you want to know that the way that you have to campaign are drastically different from how you would in any other state. You know, state to state, things are very different. You know, obviously in Democratic strongholds, like say in New York or California, are going to be very different from a Virginia, a Georgia, a Ohio, whichever, you know, they're just very different. You know, the people there are different, so you have to speak to them in a different way. People are different there. You have to speak to them in a different way to, you know, get them engaged with your message and what you want to appeal, how you want to appeal to them, it matters. So yeah, in Virginia, you've got Abigail Spanberger and you've got Winston Burroughs Sears. Those are the two main candidates there. Currently, Abigail Spanberger is in the lead in the polls, but again, you take it with a grain of salt, quite frankly. We've seen how things can turn as it pertains to the polls. So make sure that you guys are getting out there and voting. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but depending on what you want this country to look like and what you want the state of Virginia to look like, you want to, you know what I'm saying, make sure that you go out and vote for the candidate that you feel is better for what you need and what you want and how you want your life to be lived and how you want your state to be governed. Now to New Jersey. So I'm from New York. I was born in New York. I lived there most of my adolescent life. I moved to LA when I was 10, right? So I went to middle school and high school out here in the LA area before going back to college in Atlanta. I went to Morehouse College, got my bachelor's in communications and journalism, and then I went back to New York for my master's degree in journalism. I went to NYU, New York University. And so, yeah, I know a good amount about New York politics, also a decent amount about Atlanta politics. They got some problems over there too in Atlanta, but we ain't gonna talk about that right now. We're talking about New Jersey, right? But their politics, they matter. Why? Because things have taken a bit of a shift in New Jersey. Typically, New Jersey is pretty much a knockoff of New York politics in the sense that it's typically a Democrat that does really well in New Jersey, but that is not necessarily the case. It's usually pretty dominant, the Democrat does in New Jersey, but that isn't necessarily the case right now. As it stands, the polls kind of have the two candidates tied. Jack Titterelli, the Republican candidate for governor in New Jersey, and Mikey Sherrill is the Democratic candidate for governor of New Jersey. They're pretty much tied in the majority of the polls that I saw. So the way that Democrats have been, campaigning for the most part is basically saying that, they're gonna fight Trump tooth and nail, which is fine, that's valid, because, Trump has been doing things that are questionable at best, unconstitutional at worst. And so those things are understandable. But at the same time, you have to have a, you really need to have a substantive campaign message. So things are where they are, and there were some comments that came out about Jack Chitarelli and things that he's done and said over the years. So we will have to wait and see how that impacts the race there. We'll probably have to wait a couple of days to see if the polls change or the way that the election is impacted there, how that changes. So things are pretty even between Jack Titterelli and Mikey Sherrill, the Democratic candidate for governor of New Jersey. So we will have to wait and see. Give us a couple of days, see what that looks like. But again, election date, November 4th, and we will see where we stand in about a week. So, no kings. No Kings Day was a couple of weeks ago. Right. So, No Kings Day. That was October 18th. So I was on the ground there in I was on the ground here in LA. I went and covered that rather extensively. I have more content coming out about that shortly, just so that you guys know. I have not forgotten about it. Again, I wasn't feeling great, so I wanted to I wasn't in the best position to edit it and get it done, but I'm better now, so I'm gonna go ahead and get that out for you guys. So again, it's my bad, but we're gonna be back and consistent in here. That's all we do here at All Angles. We stay consistent where we're talking about, everything under the sun, but we'll get back to that. Yeah, so No Kings Day in LA. So obviously you guys know about the first one back over the summer, where millions on millions of people came out around the country and around the world, really, to protest Donald Trump and protest the president and how he's been moving and things that he's been doing over the last several months in the White House this time around. Obviously, things haven't really changed. Things didn't really change between then and October 18th. So there was a second No Kings Day, and again, more and I think more people came out this time than the last. I think it was around maybe 4 million people that came out the first time. This time it was 7. And again, there were protests all over the country, in Los Angeles, in Orange County, in Burbank, wherever. That's just in terms of California. I know that there were protests in different parts of the country. I could show you guys the map of where protests were. I checked the No Kings website, and there were a countless amount of different protests that were scheduled around the country and around the world that I saw, that were people that are protesting President Trump and how he's been, moving as far as his presidency this time around. I even saw that there was a protest in South Korea, but I'm gonna get back on track. Talk about my experience at the No Kings rally. It was a lot, I missed the first one because again, I wasn't really feeling that great. Which is crazy because for me, I don't get really sick that often. So for me to get sick twice in the calendar year is kind of uncharacteristic, but we ain't talking about that right now. So my experience was rather interesting. Thankfully there weren't any sort of problems. The police were there, of course, but they were kind of off to the side. They were blocking traffic so people weren't, jumping on the freeway, kind of impeding traffic as we were in the streets, walking down the streets and protesting what we saw. And I was, getting my footage and getting videos of all that. A big shout out to my friend, Shots by Slay. She's one of the greatest photographers in LA. She's also a videographer. She's be doing her thing, and she helped me out that day. And she was out there on the ground with me getting my interviews done. So a big salute to her. I appreciate you, Idea. I love you always. Appreciate your help getting me right and helping me get my content on the ground, But yeah, no. All in all, it was pretty calm. The walk was I came a little bit late to the party, because I had to go from, further south in I had to go from the suburb area to LA, which is about a 30-minute drive. So it took me a little while to get there, but once I got there, I just jumped right in. There were flags, there were signs, there were costumes, because the cost I went to the costume protest in LA, on Hill Street, so there was a lot, a lot of people out there. I couldn't tell you exactly how many people were out there, but it definitely a few thousand were out there on the streets of LA that day on the 18th, right? So yeah, there were people that were singing. They had bands there. They had people in costumes out there, whether they were indigenous costumes or just straight up, unicorn costumes. Of course, you guys saw the girl that was dressed in a unicorn in my interview. More from that interview coming out soon. It's gonna be on YouTube also, so keep a lookout for that. So yeah, no, there were people that were just dressed up in all kinds of ways. People that had all kinds of signs, things of that nature. So it was nice to see, people come out, people, show out and show their frustrations with the current administration and how they feel that things are being done improperly. So that was interesting to see. Again, it's my first time going to the No Kings rally, so it was all new to me, but I really was, kind of blown away by what I saw there. And so we have to again, we have to wait to see, how this all impacts the White House. Funny enough, obviously, in the lead up to No King's Day, Speaker Mike Johnson was saying how he felt that the people that were out in the streets were paid protesters. You can't pay 7 million people to go out there and protest. Let's be very clear about that. You just can't. There's not enough money in the world to pay 7 million people to go out and protest worldwide, but mainly nationwide. There's not enough money for that. There just isn't. All right. He was saying that it was a hate America rally. I could tell you straight up from what I saw, there wasn't a person in that city. There wasn't a person in this city that was out there saying that they hated America. Not one. There were too many American flags for that. Too many people that were protesting, wanting America to be better, to say that they hated America. The people that I interviewed most certainly did not hate America. But we're gonna come back to that too, because I got content from that also. So we're gonna talk about that too. Right? So, but yeah, overall, it was a great experience. It really was. Right? So was very much, you know, my heart was full that day. You know, to see people, you know, using their First Amendment right to protest, you know, that's probably the most American thing that you can do is protest and voice your frustrations with what you're seeing. There have been PWIs that have been protesting the administration also, you know, and what has the Trump administration decided to do in response? Withhold their funding. He's trying to withhold UCLA's funding, Brown, you name it. You know, so these things are very uncharacteristic, but some of these schools, not all of them, but some of these schools are, you know, taking legal action. Harvard, the same thing. They had taken legal action, as far as Trump withholding their funding or making it harder for their students to, for their what's the word? International. He's making it harder for their international students to get their visas, to get the student visas. Harvard did not take that lying down. They went to court over it. Obviously, Harvard of all schools is not going to just take that lying down, so they went to court for that. So there are some schools that have, you know, basically have fought back against the Trump administration, you know, this all-out war on education, on democratic cities, you name it. Let's run that back. So the last thing on my list is Stephen A. Smith. Now, I know what you're thinking. Andy, this is a podcast about news and politics. What's going on in the government? Why are we talking about Stephen A. Smith? So, me personally, I got my start in sports also. From high school to college to grad school, I did sports all through that as well. So, I know a little bit about sports as well, right? So, again, why are we talking about Stephen A. Smith? So, Stephen A. Smith is a well-known personality. You guys know who he is. Some of you may know who he is. So, he's been on ESPN for years. He got his start at Winston-Salem State University, a HBCU. You know, he's a well-known guy. He's been in the field of journalism for a long time. You know, you could say he's a trailblazer as well, but of recent, he started his own podcast as well, and he talks about literally anything under the sun. You know, he recently was under fire for comments that he made about Representative Jasmine Crockett from Texas, right? So he said, I believe, what was the line? He said that the language that she uses was, quote, rhetoric for the streets. And then he went on to question how it would benefit her constituents of nearly 800,000 people in Dallas, I believe it is. So effectively, he tried to tone police her. Now, any black man would know that tone policing a black woman never fares well for you. Whether you do that publicly or privately, it just doesn't work out. Tone policing a black woman, or anyone for that matter, but especially a black woman, never a good idea. You know, so Stephen A, you know better than that. You know better. You should know better. You really should. You know, as somebody who went to an HBCU, someone who has black parents, you should know better than to try and tone police a black woman. You're learning that now with the backlash that you're getting. You know, you came out and tried to apologize for it. Let's be clear, that apology was weak. You know, that wasn't a, it didn't help you. It really didn't. Because everybody kind of was able to see through that and see that it was you trying to save face. And that didn't work. You know, because people are still mad. People are still mad. And let's be clear, I'm not mad, Stephen A. I'm disappointed, frankly. I really am. You know, because, again, you're a trailblazer in the journalism field, but that was a mistake, man. It was a mistake. You should know better. Now, let's be clear. The things of the politics of old, they ain't helping nobody. They're not helping Democrats, that's for sure. You know, so you coming out and saying that Jasmine Crockett needs to try and change her approach to politics or approach to how she speaks to Republicans, what sense does that make? Because trying to do the peace talk and the kind talks and trying to be politically correct, they haven't helped Democrats very much. You know, they it's not that's not beneficial to Democrats right now. trying to, appease him and make him feel, on top of the world, that don't help nobody. Because he can be all nice in your face he can be nice to your face all day, but at the end of the day, he's one, going to go on camera after the fact and talk about how he played you; two, going to go out and still take aim at Democratic-led politicians, Democratic-led cities, all these things, regardless of how he does it in your face and how he talks to you in your face. Because again, he's also going to go on social media and talk crazy about you anyway. Not you, particularly Stephen A., but Democrats as politicians, all of that. So again, the peace talk, that don't help nobody. It doesn't. So Stephen A., you got to be careful, man. Truly, because saying that Jasmine Crockett, a well-educated black woman, needs to change the way she speaks to politicians on the Republican in the Republican side, it's not good sense. It really isn't. So shape up, Stephen A. Choose your words more carefully, because you're gonna lose support doing that. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care who supports you. You're going to lose support that way, because talking crazy about a black woman never fares well for people. But especially not someone like you, who relies on black support. Because the best thing to happen to a black man is a black woman. And so if you want to continue with your success, you should choose to respect black women and choose how you speak and be careful about how you speak about them, period. With all that being said, thank you guys for tuning in to All Angles, where we cover amendments, agendas, and anything in between. Thank you guys for watching. I'll be back soon with another episode. Got more content coming up on social media and on YouTube soon. I will be posting this on YouTube also, so if you guys want to see the visual to go along with it, you guys can take a look at that. But thank you guys for watching All Angles, and I will see you guys real soon.